San Luis, moved there in 2002. I guess I'll put this on before I talk too much. We moved to San Luis Potosí in 2002, and we've been working in the ranchos, the villages, and my dear wife, Darla, and I, we just celebrated our 47th anniversary on July 20th. So I wish she was could be here. My wife, she got hurt. She's had a lot of aches and pains, but about 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, we had a wreck. We are rear-ended. And she hurt her back and her column and her hips, and so she can't sit very long. In fact, she can't even go to church anymore because if she sits too long, she really is in a lot of pain. So normally, if she's come a couple of times where she'll give a testimony, I try to get her to come tonight. So just come, give a testimony, and then you can go sit in the car or lay down. But she just couldn't do that. But I appreciate your prayers for her. I'll share a little bit of our ministry, of what we do in San Luis Potosí. I'm always trying to recruit other young people, and I love this church. This church has a real heart for missions. Every time I come here, I'm stirred for missions and evangelism, and it's so exciting to see young people. Now, I see a lot of young people, and I wish I knew who they all belong to. I know many of you are missionaries in Poland and Mexico, and maybe some of these young people that I'm looking at, you're the kids of those missionaries, but maybe you're not. And of course, I'm always, when I see someone, I'm always trying to recruit them to go to the mission field. It's just nothing better. What God put in our heart to do, I'll share just a little bit of what God placed on our heart to do. And he used a couple of veteran missionaries. Brother Milton Martin was one of those. I surrendered to go to the mission field when I was young, but never quite felt like God wanted me to go personally. So I just got involved in supporting missionaries, just as you are doing. Our church does it a little bit differently. You support your own missionaries. I think that's a great idea. But we would just support our missionaries. And so we got involved in supporting missionaries, visiting on them on the field. I had a job. God blessed me with a very good job. Had my own business, West Painting and Roofing, and did that for over 20 years. And my life was just going great, going cruise. I thought I'd be doing that the rest of my life. Like many of you, you may be sitting out here. And I share this part of my testimony because maybe you'll be able to relate to what I went through. My life was going great. Everything was just clicking along. We lived in the country, had a camper. We took trips, and we were serving the Lord, faithful in church and all that. And then in 2000, during a missions conference in October of 2000, I wish I could remember who was preaching, but somebody was preaching, and the Lord just spoke to me, well, didn't speak to me, but he praised on me. I can't describe it, but I knew. God just impressed on me, now's the time to go. And I'm thinking, wait a second, at that time I was 42 years old. I'm thinking, you know, Lord, I'm a little past the age of being a missionary and having to learn a language. I was talking to Miss Riggs tonight, somewhere around here, and she said that she studied German in high school, and then of course she had to learn, when she went to Mexico, had to learn Spanish. And I said, you know, I grew up in San Antonio just like her and never took language, never studied, never thought, why do I need it, you know? Although we have a lot of Spanish-speaking people in San Antonio. I mean, I learned all the regular stuff, like, I mean, much less than you. But, you know, the foods and stuff. Yeah. Should I say what you said? She said she learned, well, I'm not going to say it. Don't you hate when somebody gets up to preach and they share all the secrets they've heard? Anyhow, I knew no Spanish, and so when God placed that on my heart, it's like, you know, I questioned, Lord, you know, is this really you speaking to me? In fact, I didn't say anything for 2 months. This was October, and I told my wife, Darla, and I said, Darla, I think God is calling us to go to the mission field. And her first reaction was, why don't you just go by yourself, take, you know, short missions trips, and then come back and work. And I told her, I said, Darla, if you don't go with me, I'm not going to go. You know, I know there's going to be enough trials and tribulations on the field. You don't want to go dragging your wife behind you if she's not willing to go. So I would encourage men, you know, that would be my recommendation. But anyway, I told her, if you're not going to go, I'm not going to go. Well, the Lord used that, started convicting her heart. Wow, if I don't go with him, I'm going to be hindering what God wants him to do. So fortunately, she came to me later and she said, David, whatever the Lord tells you to do, I'm with you.
Amen.
And so praise the Lord for that. So we waited 2 months, prayed about it, made sure it wasn't just an emotional thing. And then December 31st, we had a watch night service at our church. And that's when I preached and I announced what God had put on our hearts, and we went on deputation and then went to Mexico. And like I said, God had used Brother Milton Martin. One thing he talked to me about, he said, you know, a lot of missionaries, they'll pick a certain location or whatever, and there's nothing wrong with it. I realize God can do what he wants in whatever way. So I used to have all the answers. I've got less answers than I ever had. And God is God. Let God be God.
Amen.
But he told me, and it clicked with me, David, instead of just picking an area, one town that you're going to go to and I'm going to plant a church there, just want you to sow a big area. That's what he did down in Chiapas. Sow a big area with literature and witnessing. And he said, you may see some areas that start responding, you know, like fertile soil, like the Bible talks about the sower went out to sow, and some fell on stony ground, some fell on good ground. He said, you know, just sow the word, and then these, as you start seeing areas that respond, then you can go and focus all your efforts in that. And so that's what we've been doing for the last 24 years. We got there in 2002, so we've been there 24 years. And what God told us to do, or God placed in our hearts to do, was to go to every house in every village of the state of San Luis Potosí. I had no idea what that meant at the time. I knew that's what God wanted me to do. So, you know, we got literature. In fact, God has a great sense of humor. I'm more of a quiet, believe it or not, I'm more of a quiet person. I like to be behind the scenes. I was talking to Susan Jackson, and she talked about how difficult it was to get in front of people. That's me. I mean, even now, when I have to preach, I mean, God has helped me, but even like when Brother Riggs called me, there I go. The butterflies start flying around. I think, when is that going to pass? I guess it never will pass. But, so, yeah. And sometimes you lose your train of thought. Thank you, brother. Passing out literature, village, go to all the villages. I knew God wanted me to use literature. I thought I'd work with a missionary and kind of, you know, do anything he wanted to do. I wanted to be behind the scenes. I went to language school after a year of language school, moved over to Moctezuma, and was going to work with a missionary there. And with the idea of, you know, 2 or 3 years with him and get better with the language. Because when I graduated from language school, my language teacher very kindly said, Brother David, you have the vocabulary of a 4-year-old right now. I think it's more like a 3-year-old, but I didn't have much of vocabulary. I mean, it's hard to learn a language, but anyway, but God can do wonderful things. Anyway, so I moved over there, and shortly after we got to that town, the veteran missionary called me in, Brother David, my wife is sick and we're going to have to move back to the States. And he went. And it's like, wait a second. I'm starting to question the Lord. Like, did I really miss it here? I learned a few words in Spanish. One word I learned was regalo. And so I thought, well, he's gone. What do I do? I guess I can just start going to the villages like God put in my heart. I couldn't conversate. But what we do, we have little packets. We make packets. We put a John and Romans in there, a couple of tracts, and a card offering the Bible correspondence course. And it hasn't been as fruitful as Brother Milton's, but I know we're doing what God wants us to do. And so we're just plugging along, and we just started going to these villages. And any of you can do this. Again, I share this part of my testimony because we're trying to raise up more recruits. We need, praise the Lord. I don't know how many families does this church have presently on the field?
I believe 7 now.
7. That is amazing, folks. You know how many churches don't have even one family on the field, and this church has 7, and y'all are responsible for their sustenance. What a blessing, what a responsibility. But I mean, y'all been doing it for, I think he said 30 years or maybe 50 years. God bless you, folks. Keep doing it. Anyway, so we just started going to the house to house, and I used a little vocabulary that I had. A guy 44 years old that, you know, couldn't speak very much, but I could hand a tract. As Brother Riggs or someone said last night, who was saved because of a tract? Yeah. And three or four hands were raised. And so, I mean, you, even if you can't speak the language where you are, that tract preaches. And so we just started going. I remember going, and I'd go to a house, and what we do, I got a map at the map place there in San Luis Potosí. And on the map, it shows all the, like a clump, you'll see a bunch of black dots, a clump of black dots. And each dot represents a house. And so we would decide, okay, we're going to go to that clump of dots today. And at the time, we didn't have a GPS or anything, but I could see the rivers and the mountains and power lines on the map. So I just would find my way out to these villages that way. So I'd get out there, and then we'd just go house to house like you do here or in Poland or, you know, wherever you are serving the Lord. And we'd start going house to house. And, you know, I would say, I mean, I'd go to a house and I'd hand a packet and I'd say, regalo. And they'd say something. I had no idea what they're saying. And I just smile. Everybody can smile and say, you know, regalo. And they would take it, and I'm sure they thought, what's this crazy gringo doing here in my village? But that's how we started. Very humbling. When people walk up to you and they talk to you, and you have no idea. Now I know, you know, most time when you get a track, but now they say, Father KS, what's this for? I'm sure that's probably what they're asking, or some variation of that. But now here we are 24 years later, I can look back and see God's hand in every step. And you know, it doesn't matter what your age is, if you're 30 or 40 or 50, and your life is clicking along good, and you think, I'm going to be doing this the rest of my life. Let God do what He wants to do. I heard somebody say, I wrote it down. I got it written down. Let me see. I don't know who said it. Once I read it, I'm sure somebody here will tell me who said it. Someone said, and it's true, God has the right and my permission to rearrange my life at any time to achieve His purposes for His glory. I don't know if it's some missionary, some pastor, some preacher, but there's a lot of truth there. This should be what each one of us feel. Yes. If we're saved, we've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, we don't have a right to say no. When God spoke to me during that missions conference in 2000, I didn't have a right to say no. I have to be honest, I doubted, I questioned, but I didn't say no. But everyone should be able to say, God has the right and my permission to rearrange my life at any moment to achieve His purposes for His glory. Amen. You may be serving the Lord just like Darla and I were. We are serving the Lord faithfully. I had a bus route. I worked in the children's, in the youth church. I had a Sunday school class. I was the Sunday school class teacher for 26 years. And so we were busy serving the Lord. And sometimes we think, yeah, you know, I'm serving the Lord. I don't need to go to a foreign field. But maybe God wants to do that. So just be open to it. So I praise the Lord for what He's allowed us to do. We decided to go to every village. Like I said, we got there. We found out there's 6,731 villages just in the state of San Luis Potosí, Mexico. And I thought, well, you know, I was at the time I was 44, and I kind of compare, you know, my dad's dad, you know, he was in good shape till 85, 86, 87. I think he died when he was 90, somewhere around there. I think he was blowing leaves off his roof or something on the ground. Okay, he's with a leaf blower and like 90 years old. And so I thought, well, okay, I've got 40 years or so. And I kind of divided 6,731 villages in 40 years. And I thought, well, I can do that. You know, hey, we all have our weird thoughts. Didn't realize, you know, once you start sowing, then you can meet people. And now they're interested. Now you got to spend time with them. And you don't just, well, I got to go to these other houses. No, no, no. God sent me to deal with people. And so we haven't got to all the villages that I thought at this time. We praise the Lord for what He's allowed us to do. Amen. We've been to a little over 1,800 of them so far. We're actually in San Luis Potosí and in Zacatecas and Guanajuato. We've got areas that we've got Bible studies right now. The Lord's allowed us to start a couple of churches. Right now we're starting a third work, helping another missionary right now in the city, a Filipino missionary in the city of San Luis Potosí. But all to the glory of God. I mean, I know who I am. I mean, there's not a whole lot, but if God can use me and Darla and do what He's done so far, He can use any of us. And just be willing. Interesting, I didn't realize this when Bill, I knew some of Brother Bill's testimony, that he surrendered to the Lord, but I didn't realize my dad had used that passage, Isaiah 6, and that happens to be the passage that God placed in my heart. So, Isaiah chapter 6, let's open up our Bibles in Isaiah chapter 6. A lot of good passages in the Word, you can't go wrong with any of them, but Isaiah chapter 6, very familiar passage. Going to read verse 1 through 8. The Bible says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I. Send me. I was in Mexico. They got a show. Not sure if it's still on. It's called Sábado Gigante. It's like a game show, like on Saturdays. And they start the little show. And of course, they're always trying to get people in the audience to volunteer to come forward and compete and whatever. And everybody's out there. Yay! You know, pick me, pick me, pick me. Made me think about when God spoke to Isaiah, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Do we have that desire? I think, as Brother Bill said, you know, he wasn't sure if God was calling him or not. And I think, if I remember his testimony, he said, well, just volunteer. And so how many of us are willing to just volunteer? Who am I? Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Do we have a desire deep in our heart to be chosen? Are you afraid if you say, Lord, here am I, please pick me? How many of y'all saw that Men in Black movie? And I think it's Will Smith. He's the big old monster had swallowed something, and he's trying to get inside the monster to get that thing out. I guess their gun or whatever. And he's like, eat me, eat me. He's trying to draw his attention. Every time I see that, and I got a weird imagination, but when I see that, I think about, you know, how should we be to the Lord? Lord, pick me, pick me. I want to be used by you. Please pick me. Instead of, don't pick me, you know, pick him, you know. Like sometimes whenever we're in church sometimes, and you know, the service is closing, and you know, there's going to be a closing prayer. Many churches, the pastor or the elder will pick somebody in the audience to pray. And sometimes we're a little nervous. There's some people in the audience that's, you know, nervous to pray. And so they're just kind of trying to hide out, you know, please, please don't call on me. I can relate to that. Maybe you can't, but I can relate to that. But that should be our desire. That should be the way we feel. Well, what a privilege. I mean, you've seen it firsthand. Seven families at the present moment. In years past, probably even more. I've heard stories about this church, how many families were serving. I think a lot of it started in San Luis Potosí. Many of y'all guys were living there and working and started the church there in Selene, and then y'all separated out and all that. I mean, y'all seen it. And what a wonderful heritage just to continue. And a lot of these guys are getting up in age. I mean, we're still in good shape. I mean, we may be getting up in age. We're talking about our ages at the doorway, you know. I'm 68. I think Bill's 68 also. And Mike is older than all of us, I guess. What are you, 74? But I mean, it's not a 74 like we used to think people 74, you know, walking around with their walker. I mean, look at this guy, 74, still working, building cabinets. And, you know, I had him come to my house to look at it, and, you know, cause he could knock that work out in 3 days, I think, just with his eyes closed and one arm tied behind his back. But still, many of our missionaries are getting up in age. You know, we want to serve the Lord as long as we can. We want to die on the field if that's what God wants. But you know what? We need some young ones to come behind us. Praise the Lord for Joshua and Matt. And there's probably some others I'm maybe not mentioning. There's probably some others about that age. I think Joshua, you're 40?
42.
And Matt?
32.
30. Woo, praise the Lord. All right. We need some 22. We got any 22-year-old missionaries here? Do I hear 22? Do I hear 18? But that, we will be excited, like, Lord, pick me, I want to serve you on the field. There ain't nothing better, folks. Whom shall I send? Who will go for me? And so often we don't want to do that because we compare ourselves to others. I'm not Bill. I mean, I've heard Bill preach. That guy can knock it out of the park. I can't preach like that. Or any of these guys that have gotten them to preach. I was impressed last night. Last night was the only night I've been here. And Mike Jackson and Brother Corey. And Miss Magda, I thought you were his Magda. It's funny, I sent behind you, Brother Riggs, and I see on the thing Magda's gonna give a testimony. Oh good, I'm gonna hear Joshua's wife give a testimony. And he said, Magda, this girl stood up and I looked at the back of your head, I thought Joshua had more hair than that. But we'll compare ourselves to these guys, Brother Corey's message, all these people that have such a capacity to just to preach God's word, and they got so many gifts that we just think, oh, I can't do that. I can't. That's not who I am. You know what? As I said, God can use anyone. Any one of us.
Amen. Amen.
To do what he wants to, llevar a cabo, do, accomplish, thank you, accomplish. Well, this is just opposite. When I was in Mexico, they'd have to yell out the Spanish words when I was stuck. Now it's kind of, reverse. Anyway, if God puts it on your heart, or if you just, even if God doesn't put it on your heart, I mean this, folks, just say, Lord, pick me, not him, me. Ain't no better life, folks.
That's right.
I had a great life. You know, the old saying is, if you love your job, you won't work a day in your life. All those years I worked in West Painting and Roofing, I loved every day of it. I didn't go to work like, oh, I gotta go to work. I loved it. And I thought I couldn't enjoy anything near what I was doing in that. I was working for myself, doing something I loved. I had the freedom to go do whatever I wanted anytime. If I want to take a vacation, if I want to go to Mexico, if I want to do whatever. It was a great life. And then, you know, God changed it. And now I can't imagine painting. People have asked me, do you miss painting? I don't miss painting. I can't imagine doing anything. I can't imagine doing any other ministry than what I'm doing now in the villages. I've had people come down and visit me and they can't believe, why are you working out here? It's so dusty and dirty. And I'm thinking, I'm having the time of my life. I can't believe why everybody doesn't come over and say, man, I want to do what you're doing. You know why I'm like that? Because that's what God put in me. And God has something for you. If you'll volunteer, and they'll say, hey, yeah, I've got a job for you, son. I've had something in my mind, and you're just the one. I don't know why I'm picking on you. I guess I get picking. Are you a missionary kid?
Yes, sir.
Ooh. Are you a missionary kid? Okay, I'll talk to him then. All right. Whatever, whoever. Boy, girl, you know. Just say, Lord, here am I. In Isaiah 6, and as far as having what you need, God will give that to you. In Philippians chapter 2 verse 13, the Bible says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He will give you what you need when you need it at the right time. Just take that step forward. I've had people ask me, Brother David, but how do you know? My best advice is, of course, pray a lot. and then just start taking steps that way. And as the door is open, just take another step and just keep going forward until God just slams that door in your face. I mean, he's big enough. He can get your attention. Say, no, I appreciate your willingness to go, but that's not what I want you to do right now. But always just be ready. Okay, Lord, meanwhile, I'm going to serve you here in Oak Knoll and, you know, preaching on the street and giving out tracts and being a good husband or a good wife and being a good testimony. But I'm still here. Please don't forgive me over here. Isaiah 6:8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord whom shall I send and who will go for us? That same voice is the same voice in the New Testament where it says in Matthew chapter 9. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I mean, I don't know what the ratio of workers to members of this church is. I think this is a dynamite church. This is just a unique, unique church. It could be 50-50 here. 50% are serving, you know, the typical church. I think the typical ratio is 10% of the church does 90% of the work or something like that. I don't think it's anywhere near that in this church. Even if it was 70% active and 30 just members of the church, that doesn't give you an excuse to sit back there. Well, we got 70% of our congregation actively serving you. God wants to use you.
That's true.
Too. The laborers are few, folks. We're seeing less and less people taking that step and say, Lord, I want to go. And I know it's the Lord. The Lord's got to do the work. He's the one that calls out, you know. We see that in Acts when he said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. But again, I'm saying you need to be willing, just as Brother Bill was. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You can start doing that. Lord, send laborers and send me. There's a need. It says right here, there's a need. And as I hear people preaching, they're saying there's a need. I mean, I don't think Brother Corey and Brother Joshua and Brother Joe, and I'm not sure who else are in Poland, I don't think they would say, don't come to Poland, we have enough preachers in Poland. Would you say there's enough? No, there's probably room for one more preacher in Poland. Yeah. Same thing in Mexico. I know in our church, Town East Baptist Church, we got a bunch of missionaries in Mexico. But I'd still say, if the Lord's leading you to Mexico, go to Mexico. I praise the Lord for what we're seeing in Mexico, seeing churches grow. We're seeing a lot of Mexican people stepping forward to give their life as missionaries and pastors. So I praise the Lord for that. Okay? But there is such a need for workers. There's still a need for workers in every part of the world. The request is who will go for us. This verse here in the back. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That same command, that same request is for today. It's not like, I wonder what God wants. He wants us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And maybe he may want to send you. If he doesn't want to send you, you know what you got to do? You got to send others. And praise the Lord for what y'all are doing. Amen. Sending others. Can you imagine being chosen President Trump? Can you imagine being chosen by President Trump to be an ambassador? Brother Corey, no, not Brother Corey, Brother Steve, I think.
Yeah.
Great beard, by the way. I kept looking at your beard last night. Like, how does he do that? That's sharp, man. He spoke to a president, I think he said. I mean, and what an honor. To be able to rub shoulders with somebody like that and be able to share the gospel with somebody like that. But imagine being chosen by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. To be an ambassador to the world. I'm an ambassador. You're an ambassador.
Amen.
What higher privilege is that? We can be an ambassador here. We can be a witness here. I'm not poo-pooing that, okay? That's not a good word. I didn't want to say menospreciar. What's the other word, menospreciar? Thanks a lot, Susan. Making light of it or making it less, okay?
Belittling.
Belittling?
Belittle.
Okay. All right? I'm not sure that's the word I wanted, but that's a good word. But making it less, like making it less, like it's less.
Menospreciar.
Making it less important. It's just as important. If God wants you here, it's just as important for you to be here. You'd be disobedient to leave here and go to Mexico or Poland or Germany or wherever if God wanted you here. But just, Lord, here am I. Send me. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. I love the previous two verses. The ministry of reconciliation that God has given us. Wow. In verse 19 and 20, 18 and 19, I'm sorry, 18 and 19, says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, hallelujah, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
Amen.
What a privilege it is, folks, to be able to go out to a rancho out in the middle of nowhere and share, as we did before we left with Jose Arturo, and going to his house. He lives in a little town called Cerro de la Bufa. There's probably three houses there. And getting out there and talking to him, the first visit, we had a really good visit in front of the school right next to his house, and he asked us to come back. Second time we came back, we had time, we sat down, he brought us some chairs out underneath the trees, we sat down, we shared the gospel, and it's like I grabbed his hand and put in the hand of Jesus Christ to reconcile him. Jesus is the only one that can heal that vacancy in your heart. He's the only one that can save you. I can present the reconciliation, how this person can be reconciled. I have the answer. You have the answer. Poor Jose Arturo did not have the answer. Boy, he had some weird answers to our questions about how you can know that you can go to heaven. What do you have to do? Of course, you know, if you've been on mission field, you know, most of them, I think even in Poland, the majority religion is Catholic. Okay, so similar stuff. They got the same answers, you know, works and yada-da-da-da-da. And nobody can know for sure and all that. What a great thing to be able to open God's Word, sit down with somebody. And that's one thing I appreciate about working in the ranchos. I've even had some of the city missionaries tell me when they go with me, God's blessed me. It used to be Darla was always going with me out the ranchos. They're just really rough roads. And then when she got hurt, she couldn't go with me anymore. But God has given me a number of men. I've got probably 12 men now that go with me. Many of them have jobs in the industrial zone. They work like 4 days on, 4 days off. And so those days off, they will go with me. And we just have it's just amazing how God has supplied workers. You know, when I thought, how are we going to continue to do what we're doing? But there in Cerro de la Bufa, we got to share Christ with Jose Arturo. And he accepted the Lord.
Amen.
And we've been back since. So pray for him. Pray for his family. I know you've got your hands full with your seven families and prayer letters. Please read the prayer letters, folks. I mean, these guys, they're pouring their heart out and they're doing all they can, and they need prayer warriors here on this side of the border. Please, when you get their letter, I don't know how you do your letters here, if they send them email. I finally sent, at our church, Townies Baptist Church, you know, we have a number of missionaries, so I got the list of all the missionaries, because I try to pray for them every Monday, and I finally got the email address to all our missionaries, and wrote them and said, please send me your prayer letter, so I can pray instead of just praying for, you know, Mike and Susan Jackson in Pachuca. I can pray for, and I can mention some names or some special needs. That is a wonderful ministry, folks, to pray for the needs of your missionaries. And as you pray for them, you'll get even more of a heart for the people. And you'll have more of a connection and be that much more easy for God to say, okay, you've been praying for them, you volunteered, now I want you to go. But we have the ministry of reconciliation. The word reconciliation is the means by which sinners are reconciled and brought into a state of favor with God after natural estrangement or enmity. Wow. Ain't that great, folks, that we, that God wants to use us in that reconciliation?
Amen.
And then in the same verse, in almost in closing, Isaiah 6:8, here Isaiah heard the voice and praised the Lord. He responded to the voice and he said, then I said, Isaiah, then I said, here am I, send me. So that's the question. Are you, do you have that heart within you? Again, no matter what the age, are you willing? Here am I, Lord. Does God have the right, and does God have your permission? He has the right, but he's not going to make you. He could, couldn't he? Man, I mean, he can change a lot of circumstances, but do you want him to go through all these drastic things and just tear your life all apart to finally get your attention? Wouldn't it be much better for you just to say, Lord, you have my permission.
Yeah.
I love my life. I love my wife. I love my family. I love my church. I love what I'm doing in my church, but you have my permission to do whatever. If you want me to leave this and go somewhere as a missionary, I'm going to do it. Pick me, pick me, pick me. Sandy sang a song last night. Sever any ties, save the tie that binds me to thy heart. It's talking about, you know, just send me. Lord, send me anywhere. Only go with me.
Yeah.
You know what? People that ask us, ask Dart and I, you know, a number of people still are concerned about Mexico because of what they hear in the news and stuff, you know. Aren't you afraid down there? You know, I've always told them, I'm in the center of God's will. And there's no place safer than that.
That's right.
If I'm in the center of God's will in Mexico or even the Middle East or some of these crazy areas, that even crazy, crazy, if God sends you to the Middle East, some Muslim country, folks, that's a big need to go to these areas where a lot of Muslim areas, or maybe in violent areas. If God places that on your heart, you know what? That would be the safest place for you.
Amen.
Because nothing can happen to you until God says.
Yeah.
And what's the threat? If I die, where do we go? We're going to be with in heaven. We got a lot of people on that side. Wow, Uncle Dale, Uncle Norman, my dad. Wow, Aunt Nelda. Wow, we just starting to miss Kincaid. So many on that side. I can't wait to get over there, folks. So will you step forward? Will you step forward? Will you yell, pick me, pick me? I want to do it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you, Father, for the privilege to be used by you. Thank you for this church, Lord, all that they've done to evangelize San Antonio and the world. Help those that are supporting missionaries just to continue to be faithful to support their missionaries. And Lord, speak to hearts. Help us just to be willing. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.